Welcome back, WNST, Tassel Baltimore and Baltimore Positive, positively into one of my favorite times of the year. This is the time of the year when the corn starts to get ripe. I think I'm a week, maybe 2 weeks out on peaches, and I'm certainly 2 or 3 weeks out on some peach bread and peach cake around here. Summertime has sprung, and lo and behold, I'm still watching hockey, even when it's 8-0. So is this guy, while others are watching the NBA, golf, tennis, NASCAR, the Orioles. I'm going to Bowie. Leonard Raskin and I talking a little bit of finance, but probably a little bit of sports here as we get up on the 4th of July and get ready for hot dog eating contest and all things parades and fireworks. I got fireworks out my window here every night, but it's usually the Astros hitting the baseball.
Yeah, that's a shame. They are. Well, you know, we're trying hard. We're trying hard. What was it the other day? 7-3 in the ninth and gave up 7 in the ninth inning. That was tragic. The Astros are a good ball team. I would assume they're not cheating anymore.
Yeah, why would you assume that?
Because all the cheaters now work for us, right?
No, well, that's no, okay.
Some of them,
good
some
answer.
Of them are still there. Some of them are still there, but clearly we didn't get the right group, because if we got the group that helped them win and they were cheating, they're not cheating here because we are not winning.
Yeah, you know, this is a great topic because I think you and I took this on for a minute when the Bob Baffert thing happened, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
we had a Kentucky Derby horse win dirty, okay? So we're 50 years removed from, like, the women in, you know, East Germany growing mustaches and beards and whatnot, and where cheating is, right? Now they're going after the sticky stuff, right? So we get these videos of Scherzer losing his mind. They're doing a striptease out on the mound, right? And managers being jerks, you know, like, you know, playing the psych game with the pitchers. And I mean, this baseball should, like, be good. Make it good,
it
and we'll want to watch it. Make it fair, and we'll want to watch it, you know?
Yeah, it should be fun. Look, everybody knows the pitchers are doing whatever they're doing. The hitters are doing whatever they're doing. And to watch what's gone on this week with every pitcher coming off the mound, basically getting strip searched, taking off their hat, taking off their glove. What a joke. This is the silliest thing I've seen. I was watching, this is crazy because I fall asleep with the TV on. It's just a thing.
So do we. I mean, I fell asleep in the middle of the no-hitter the other night.
Right. But I'm talking about, like, going to bed, not like falling asleep on the couch watching a game. I'm talking about I climb in bed, and if I'm like not wiped, I'm turning the tube on, and I was watching Dodgers Padres, and that's the 10 o'clock game. 10:30 game, whatever.
Well, that's so exciting. Watching, there's a lot of energy.
Yeah. I'm watching Dodgers Padres, and they bring a guy in from the bullpen. And when they do, the first thing that happens is the umpire now is checking his glove and his hat. Okay, fine. And then the next inning, they bring in another guy. They don't check him. But when the inning's over, he's walking off the mound. They're checking his glove and his hat. Like, come on. It is such a ridiculous, ridiculous thing. I don't know how they're going to police this. It's stupid. And I was listening to one of the guys that I think is both hysterical and brilliant, Tim Kirchen. When it comes to baseball, he's just it. He's so funny and he's so on point.
Tim's one of my oldest friends in the whole business. You know what I mean? I met Tim when I was a kid, and he was the beat writer when I got to the paper in the 80s.
That's right. He
legend.
Said, you know what? He said for 100 years, if pitchers wanted to put something on the ball, they just put it on the back of the catcher. And when the catcher comes out to the mound, they give him a hug and they put it on the ball and throw the ball. They're not checking the catchers. So anytime a catcher wants to put something on a ball, he can just rub his shin guard, throw the ball back to the pitcher. It's like so stupid. Or he said the shortstop, you know, they throw the ball around. The shortstop could have something in his glove. You don't know where it's coming from. It's the dumbest rule in the world. They're like you said, Scherzer strip searching on the mound. It is so dumb. Major League Baseball.
It's like no one there gets together and says, how can we make it better? How can we make it better? And these sorts of skirmishes, I mean, we have bench clearing going on this week around here. I mean, everything but good baseball. And hopefully if I get down to Bowie on Saturday and see this kid Rodriguez pitch and it doesn't rain, I'll have a chance. I mean, a lot of my Padres friends have gone to Bowie. I mean, just
Dodgers,
to do something.
Padres was good baseball. It was good to see. There were some good bunts. There were some hits. There were pitchers throwing good pitches. Everything wasn't a home run. There was a 3-1 game.
It felt like a game you would have wanted to be at.
Yeah, it was good baseball. It was good baseball. And our old friend, Manny Machado, a couple great plays, you know, he's whipping around the ball at third base. He's hitting the ball. It's good to see good players play baseball.
How did the Padres look jerseys? I mean, they look very dapper these days, don't they?
Yeah, they've done a couple of the throwbacks too. So that's kind of wild. But, you said earlier, you know, it's kind of crazy. Here we are late June. We're coming into the 4th of July. And I was watching hockey and my wife said to me, "Isn't this over yet?" I said, "I think we'll have fireworks on game 7. I don't know. It can't end. It's never going to end. And when it ends, I think what do they call it? I don't know. They call it preseason, I guess, in hockey. It's not spring training camp. When the Stanley Cup is hoisted, I think 2 days later, they'll go back to August 9th, they're going to finish
this or something, right?
I mean, it is crazy, but there's some good series right now, albeit an 8-0 blowout by Tampa over the Islanders. The Canadiens are putting up a fight. They're up on Vegas, which is stunning. And the Canadiens haven't been in the Stanley Cup Finals since 1993. I mean, that's a long time to go without a championship in Montreal. And this is, we're talking almost 30 years. And they have a shot. They're up 3-2 on Vegas. That, if the Canadiens get in the final, man, that whole country is going to go crazy.
Well, that's the thing about Canadiens. That, like, most of them hate the Canadiens, right? But they rather have them win than like the Tampa Bay Lightning or whatever.
They got to have a Canadian Stanley Cup. It just has to happen. It's good for the sport. You know, it's good for the sport to have a Canadian team in the final, even if
they
don't win.
Have you ever spent any time in Toronto?
I have. That's a fantastic city.
Did you go to the Hockey Hall of Fame there in the big mall?
I did. I have been there. Yeah, it's kind of funny. Exactly. You like, I want to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame. Where do I go? You go to the blank, whatever the heck it is, mall. It's a storefront in the mall. And then you walk in and it's this huge, amazing place. But yeah, it's in a shopping center right next to Starbucks or something. Or what is it up there? It's the donut, Norton. What is it? Hortons or something.
Tim Hortons donuts.
It's the donuts and coffee right next to the Hall of Fame. It's pretty funny.
Well, it's in downtown Toronto, so it's really easy to
magnificent.
Go see it and go to a baseball game or go see it and go to a show or go see it and just
absolutely
see Toronto. But I remember the first time I was in Toronto was in the summer of 1992. And, you know, the Blue Jays were it. The place was mobbed. It was hard to get tickets. And I went in with my buddies. We drove up through Buffalo, the whole deal. We had a rental car, you know, in the city.
Yeah.
And I just remember even in July when we put the television on and everywhere we went, it was hockey, hockey, hockey. And I'm a hockey guy, right? So, I mean,
that
fell into my thing. But my buddies were like, man, they're really obsessed up here. And it never escapes me that whenever I'm there, if I check into a hotel room, put the television on, or just hear what people are talking about, how hockey-centric Canadians are. And if you've never spent any time there, you would not know that. But if you spend 5 minutes there, it's kind of like being in Europe with soccer. I mean,
with soccer, absolutely.
The heartbeat and the way that baseball very much was here and the way football is, but football doesn't play every day all year.
Right.
To be a conversation piece, but
it doesn't matter in the off season or not. Hockey in Canada is it. It's religion.
And, but for and hockey those folks, playing the first week of July and
it's nuts.
I talked earlier this week. It's like our biorhythms are all sort of out of sync a little bit, right?
Yeah, it shouldn't be. What I'm amazed by listening to the commentators talk about it is in Tampa and in Vegas. Vegas, it was 120 degrees the other day, and they said the ice was fantastic, that the conditions in the arena were fantastic. It seems unbelievable that they're able to, I mean, this is technology, right? They're able to make a building. They built it for hockey, and they built this building and set up this rink, and it is
some inside. Would say it couldn't have been done, right? Some would say you'll just never get that ice good. You know, a place they have problem with the ice, and Ed Frankovic and I talk about this all the time, is in Washington. And you know the reason they have a problem with the ice there? It's built over top of the subway.
There you go.
And the subway creates a temperature underneath of that building that they just can't do anything about. Ed would bitch forever because they've always had precision skill players, whether it was Jagr, Ovechkin.
Yeah.
You pay those guys for precision and you create chips on the ice that maybe sometimes give you an advantage, but certainly defensively take an advantage away from you as a franchise, in the same way that every time, and Palmer did this Tuesday night, every time the ball goes up in the air at Camden Yards, Palmer, as a pitcher, says it's a small ballpark. It's a small ballpark. It's a small ballpark.
Cringes.
Really a small ballpark.
Man never gave up.
As a pitcher, once you get that in your head, oh my God. But the ice matters a lot, a lot. And I remember, like, the Boston Garden had no air conditioning. So when they would play games there in May,
fog. They'd have fog.
It would be soup in a fog. It would look like London at 7 a.m.
Yeah, the skaters, the players would have to, they'd have to stop the game. Players would come off the bench and skate in circles to lift the fog up into the crowd so they could play the game because they couldn't see the ice. but somehow at 120 degrees in the middle of the desert, they're playing hockey and they're making it happen. And the same in Tampa. It's not warm. It's not cool in Tampa. And they're playing there. So you got an interesting Final Four. You got Vegas and the Canadiens. You got Tampa and the Islanders. And who knows who's going to be in. I got news for you. If it should so happen that it's the Islanders and Montreal, I think our NBC networks will not be happy about that.
Well, we get the New York market in there, but
you know, but still, it's not the Rangers. It's
be nice Islanders. To the Trotses, man. We got to make them the Rangers.
Hey, I'm all for it. I hope they get there, but they got a tough road ahead after an 8-0 loss. It's hard to come back from.
I am joined by Leonard Raskin. He's Raskin Global and RaskinGlobal.com. He joins us each and every week. We usually talk a little finance, a little sports. Hey, I'm very appreciative of you for keeping the hockey flame flickering here. You got me all fired up. I was thinking about Trotz. I had Eddie Frankovic on this week, and I bared my soul about the Caps and them not bringing the cup to Baltimore and how that just didn't offend me. I don't like being lied to on my radio show. And my feelings about all that. But more than that, my feelings about Trotz have come back to the point where, like, it's appointment destination viewing. When the game was 5-0 the other night, I still had it on for a couple of minutes to figure out what's going on. My buddy Kenny Albert shows up every once in a while. But I got to tell you, Len, like, from a lifer hockey guy, and I had on, and I hope you listen to this as well, Michelle Jackman Anthony, the daughter of Phil Jackman, father to me, Father's Day weekend, I thought of him and I thought of her, and we're Facebook friends, and she is the executive director of the National Kidney Foundation in Washington. And she's a lifer friend of mine, like a sister to me, even though I had a crush on her sister, which we talk about regularly, which embarrasses her sister. And Phil's in ailing health. And we just wanted to give a shout out. And Tina's doing well. And Tina was my longtime realtor. So I had her on and we told stories about hockey all week. And I think this is the subliminal segment I'm doing with you every week, sort of poking me to do a little hockey thing. Well, I can. It's the end of June and I can talk hockey.
Absolutely.
That's never happened, dude, ever.
Well, there's no football news. You know, there's no football news. I mean, it's kind of quiet. It's a quiet period between the
Orioles beatings every night.
No. I'm talking about the football. They come in for the camp, the like little mini camp or whatever it is, the OTA. I don't know.
Last week. That's over.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. When that's over and until camp starts, it's kind of the only time during the year the NFL is really in a quiet period. There's not much going on.
Well, I'm going to enjoy that. I mean, I'm going to Heritage Fair. I'm doing M3. Like, I like that it's quiet.
My point is you can have hockey right now, which is kind of crazy. We should be talking baseball.
I hope it goes on for more than another night because I'm not really going to be interested in the Tampa Vegas. I mean, I'll probably watch it because we watch hockey, but I got no dog.
I'll watch it. I don't have a dog in the hunt no matter what, but I'll be watching. I just love it. My wife just says to me, another game? can there be another game?
Funny,
really?
It's July.
I said, come on, it's July. They play hockey. It's ridiculous.
Well,
I'd love to be watching the Orioles. I'm so disappointed. I'm sitting here on a beautiful Father's Day weekend. And like I said, we're up 7-3 in the ninth. And I think we're going to get two in a row. And they give up seven runs. It's just discouraging. It's dreadful.
Well, I keep asking you if you're going to go. And you're like, yeah, we're going
to
go.
We'll get to a game. But we haven't yet. We still haven't done it. We'll probably be at the beach more than we'll be at the ballpark for sure.
I want to see Shohei Ohtani play. So, yeah. You know, I've rerouted my tour, if you can see.
When's that series? When's that Angel series?
So this is my list here. And you have a wife, so you'll appreciate this. And you love your wife. I've seen that. Bruno Mars is showing up in the middle of August. And I got, like, face value tickets, unheard of. Because we would not have paid the scalper prices. We just,
right.
Like, she's seen him. We love him. We got seats in the back. It's awesome that we got the back seats and we got them cheap. So on August 6th, we're going to be at National Harbor. So the tour is starting to like shape itself a little bit and wind its way around a little bit. But I tell you what, man, I got Joe Madden in town, 24th, 25th, 26th. It feels to me like if you like baseball at all, right, and you're going to go this year, you're going to go for a player, not named Mancini Means or Zimmerman or whatever your thing would be. That's where I'm circling my
showtime.
Time to say if I'm going to do one night,
showtime.
I want to see him.
I'll tell you what, that dude is unreal. 100-mile-an-hour curve, 100-plus fastball, deadly pitching, amazing arm. And who'd have thought in the American League you would forego the designated hitter to let your pitcher hit? And doesn't he lead the league in home runs? I mean, the guy's insane.
Well, I mean, this is Babe Ruthian type of summer for, a player. And I want to stop and see him play. And you mentioned Machado. My dear friend Freddie Yulman is still the assistant general manager of the Padres. I mean, we're life of friends. That's why I'm a Padre fan amongst a million other reasons. And they play in Philadelphia on the 4th of July. And they play in Washington the weekend, the 16th, 17th, and 18th. So if you got a Machado thing, you got to, I'm trying to look, I'm going to Bowie this weekend, rain pending, because I how I feel about Angelos, you know, how I feel about all of it, but I want to go to a game. You know what I mean? I don't want, like, never want to go to a baseball game again the rest of my life, but I do want to feel like there's a reason I'm going, other than, Leonard called me and he's stuck with a ticket to the Rangers game and the weather's good. Cause that might not be enough to get me to go two blocks. Literally.
No,
like, nobody's invited
showtime.
Me. Literally
showtime,
nobody
Ohtani.
Has texted me and said, hey, I'm in your neighbor. I live here. And say, I got an extra ticket or I got it. You want to come up? Nobody's done that yet. But I haven't turned it down, but I also haven't said to my wife, hey, Greinke's pitching. It's nice out. Let's go. I don't feel that motivated.
No. But I'm with you on Ohtani. That dude is a freak of nature and to be seen. I mean, we've been fortunate in our lifetimes to see some great, great athletes in a lot of sports. I mean, people locally here, for instance, we talk hockey. They don't recognize Ovechkin's greatness. But my goodness, to see that guy play hockey is amazing. And to be able to have seen Gretzky play hockey, incredible, and to see Jordan play basketball.
Oh, hold on. How old's your boy? 19?
19.
He saw Ray Lewis dance, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Football fans will talk about that because he didn't do that dance in other stadiums. He only did it here.
Right.
So things that you saw in the NFL, whether it was seeing Brett Favre play or Lawrence Taylor, whoever your thing is, man, we had a thing here.
Absolutely.
Literally, I never saw Johnny Unitas play.
This is my point. You're talking about some of the greatest in history right now in our town. You got to go see those players. So that's why I'm saying you got to go see Ohtani. You got to see this guy. He's something else. I mean, a pitcher last pitcher that hit like that, name was Babe Ruth, I think.
Leonard Raskin is here. Let him hit like Babe Ruth for you in building an American dream. He is Raskin Global. And of course, you can find him at BaltimorePositive.com and at RaskinGlobal.com. Summertime, right? Like, people get a little like, away, hard to get phone calls back. People get away from their money a little bit. Market was up, early this week as well. Any summer advice to all of this stuff here? I mean, we have weird, tax date move from April to May. A lot of things, hockey's off. A lot of the calendar's off for people. But a lot of people fiscally begin this week, right? There's a lot of July 1 calendaring goes on in this world, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember, don't forget, if you haven't filed your Maryland state income taxes, July 15th is the deadline. They moved that out. So July 15th, you're looking at coming up. Make sure you file your state return. You don't want to miss that. The state will jam you with ugly fees and penalties and fines and interest, and that won't be good for your financial future.
Closer than Washington.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So you want to make sure you file your Maryland state tax returns and get everything handled that you need to get handled. And if you filed an extension on your federal return, that's coming up. That'll be, October. But you got to get on these things and make sure you take care of the taxes. And I would say you just got to pay attention. You can't take the summer off. Your money doesn't take a day off, and you can't take the summer off. So you still have to mind your P's and Q's. You got to make sure that you're staying within budget. This is as good a time as any. We always talk about New Year's resolutions and checking in with your money goals, but this is the 6 month point. It's half the year. How's it going? What did you have planned for the year? Where have you said, I'm going to put away 10% of my money this year? It's going to save 10%. Have you gotten half of that done? Do you need to adjust? I spoke to a gentleman the other day. He's contributing to his retirement plan, and because of his income, he's maxed out on what he can put in for the year coming up at the end of June. So he said, so the bad thing is I won't be putting money in for the rest of the year. I said, so yeah, now what happens? He said, well, now I get to spend the difference. So he gets a little raise for the second half of the year because he's not putting money in the retirement plan. I said, no, that money's got to drive into
your other accounts. Local legend Steve Whiteman on this week from Hagerstown, the Kicks band. He wrote a song back in the 80s and actually dropped the name of a girl I know, a long-legged Rosie from Baltimore, was a bartender. She was an awesome – Rose probably still listening. But the song was called Girl Money, and that was his way to say – that's just the extra money. You know what I mean? That's my girl money. That is, that's just like, that's the money for the boat. That's the money for it's the girl money.
That's it. So you gotta watch. You gotta make sure that you keep saving that a bushel of crabs doesn't take its place of the 401k.
I would say this. You've been on me for a couple of weeks, right, about inflation, and you and I politically are probably not polar opposite, but at least on Capricorn and Cancer, probably.
Sure.
Politically, right? But on money and on value and on values, I think we're similarly aligned. But absolutely. We were going out to dinner last week with a dear friend, okay, to a non-sponsor place, okay, a place that probably would never sponsor me, so I've never pitched them, okay? And I'm not going to out what the place is because this is not going to be a positive Yelp review, okay?
No issue, sure.
But I just want to, speak my mind because I think I said it on the air once earlier this week, but this is it. So my wife and I, dear, dear male friend of mine, know him exceedingly well, don't know his wife well. My wife doesn't know his wife well. We wanted to just kind of go out and have dinner, have a good time. It was the first dinner we went out. We wanted to dress up. We wanted to be sort of outdoor, indoor. We wanted to be away from the city, just do something different. We actually did so. We went to DC the next night and did something complete because we had such a great time. But aside from that, sat down, sat in the corner, was blown away by how mobbed it was. Very, very ethnic food out in the country, very unique dining. Like, I love the food, but not everybody would, but the place was mobbed. Yeah. Everybody was older than us, strangely enough. There were lots and lots of women sort of our age gathered in sixes and eights eating these banquets of food, right? And the bill came, and I was a little like, whoa. Whoa. Because, and it wasn't that the bill was a lot. It was sort of like we had rice and vegetables, and we didn't even get a lot of it. I was kind of shocked at how small the portions were. That kind of so the portions were small, the service was bad. I mean, against what you're paying for. So all of a sudden, dude, and this isn't just for the foofy she place that I ate that cost too much 2 miles from my radio station out in the woods, right? And it was a great meal. The food was delicious. It really was.
Yep.
He didn't give me enough. They charged me too much. The service was no good. The place was packed, and it was a night. We had a great time. Food was great. Conversation was great. Weather was great. Everything was great, except I didn't like the bill, and I didn't like what I got for the bill. And that's probably the Dundalk in me, probably that Archie Bunker 1973 in me a little bit. And I'm not a cheapskate. I've had more expensive meals. I've had cheaper meals. But this speaks to – and look, I don't know what the solution is, because I am a pro $15 an hour person, because I just – but I'm not if I own the business, but I am if I work there. But I see what it does to society, and I see what it does when people don't want to work. So we can make that argument a million ways. But down the line, when your expectation, whether it's at a fast food restaurant or whether it's at this place that was – as expensive a meal as I will have in this anywhere in this region, quite frankly, to get what you get and to walk away, we will not go back there. I will not out them or say it was good or bad. I'm not writing a letter to the rest. I'm not doing any of that. I'm not even really bitching on the radio because I don't want to out them because I don't want to. I want them to do well. I want their service to improve. I understand service sucks right now. It's hard to get help. I'm happy the food was good. I'm happy the experience.
And they're overwhelmed.
But I won't do it again. It was too much money. It was like seeing Genesis. It's too much money.
You're right. I mean, prices are going up everywhere. The cost of a good steak is up 80%. The cost of crab cakes, 50%+. And the question for the business owner, for the restaurateur, is do I pass on the price increase, cost increase to my customers, and they feel the pain? Or do I raise my do I not raise my prices and eat it in lost profit? And the combination of, for the restaurant owner, higher prices and, as you said, an inability to get quality employees back right now because people are making more staying home, collecting unemployment than what the restaurateur either can or is willing to pay for the staff. So
well, the whole thing comes when you get the check, right? Like the check
comes
and you look at it and here's the deal. The service sucked. So I didn't want to be like a dick and tip 10%. We still sort of tipped at 18%, you know, or like that. But the bill was too much. And then the tip is too much. And then you look at it like, I don't want to be a jerk to the servers because they're here working. And the food didn't stink. But I you know, stroked the tip and, you know, we did it. But I'm probably never going back. Like never going back.
My wife and I
because
have
I just would get that food for 20% of what it cost and do it at the house.
Right,
like literally, because it just wasn't as good of an experience as I needed it to be to do it again.
I hear you. So I was gonna say the wife and I have a code. You know, we honeymooned, this is 27 years ago. My goodness. We honeymooned Hawaii, Australia, New Zealand. We took a little over three weeks and honeymooned in the South Pacific. And in Australia, you don't tip. It's the custom, you know, it's the price of the food.
And there is no service really. It's
right. You get your check, you pay your bill. And if you're at a restaurant, they expect that the waiters and waitresses will give you decent service and they pay them. They don't expect tips to earn their living.
But the society is more do things for yourself. Here, the society is, I'm going to sit down and you're going to wait on me.
No, absolutely. But here's the point. When we go out now, if we get lousy service, we just look at each other and we talk about Australia. And that means there's no good tip coming for the service. It's an Australian dinner. Australian dinner means bad tips for the help. You know, they didn't come through and therefore they don't get rewarded by us with a great tip. And you can be anonymous. But the other thing that I'll do if that occurred, I will jet off a note to the owner, to the restaurant, to the manager, and just say, hey, you know, this wasn't the greatest. You gotta step it up because we're paying for great food, great ambiance, great service, and you know, clients let us know that somebody didn't get a phone call back.
Believe me, Leonard,
enough,
they didn't need me. The place was mobbed. Like I was, but that speaks to the demand, right? That really, you talk about market factors. There is a demand to go out and spend too much for dinner.
People want to get out. And the what was it? Yogi Berra, right? Yogi said, you can't get into that place. Nobody goes there anymore. You can't get in. They're sold out.
Leonard Raskin, he's got a million. He'll be playing Friday night at the club.
Hey, man,
I hope we get to a ball game. I hope we get somewhere good. I look forward to catching up with you next week. Red, white, and blue next week now. We got the fireworks happening for the 4th of July,
all
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's time.
Nothing more American than watching hockey on the 4th of July.
Well, it's 4th of July hockey night in Canada.
He's Leonard Raskin. You can find him at BaltimorePositive.com. And at Raskin Global, you can find me probably anywhere Chicken Palooza is beginning next week. Our friends at Royal Farms doing that all over
Love
the place,
that.
Giving
Love that.
Chicken away. I got the Chicken Palooza cups, Leonard. I'm not sharing them, but they gave me two. So I'll be drinking out of this all month long. Also, for our Crab Cake tour in August, we're going to be stopping all sorts of places and doing all sorts of things. I'm mapping all of that out right now. I am Nestor. You can always find me, Nasty, at WNST.net. We're on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, doing rock and roll, politics, sports, crab cakes, and more. We are BaltimorePositive.com.